Good morning. Yep, that sounds like it's on. Good morning. It is a good morning to be in God's house. I am thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the ability and the chance to be here to share God's word with you all. And my name is Brother Daniel Pearson. I am a missionary out of Winton Place Baptist Church. I have been on mission now since God called us in 2018. Our mission is to plant the Lord's church in our community, Kennedy Heights. I'll get more into that as we go along this morning. My wife has prayer cards. I forgot them. That's why I ran out. I had to bring them in. So now, with all that being said, let us begin this morning. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Let us begin. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, thank you for safe travels last night. Thank you. Thanking you, Lord, this morning for early rising. Thank you, Lord, for the hospitality and the kindness of Grace Missionary Baptist to have us out this morning. Lord, I ask that this day you will let your presence be known to all of us, Lord. The reality of we are in your midst. We're not talking to the air. We're not talking to the ceiling. We're speaking to you. And you are speaking to us. Lord, you are our Father, and I pray this morning that you will bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the title of my message is, We Are Heaven's First Responders. We are heaven's first responders. And our challenging question this morning is, are we responsible responders? Are we responsible responders? In America, first responders are the heartbeat of our country. When tragedy strikes, the first responders are the first ones on the scene. Why do they respond? To save lives. To bring back to life. To stop something bad from happening. Without them, chaos would rule our streets. Without them, more people would die. Without them, this world. Imagine with me this morning, if I was a policeman and you called me to your house and there were some boys in your house robbing you for everything you had. And when I came on the scene and I got out of my car and you ran up to me and said, help, help, the boys are in my house right now. Please go stop them. And I responded to you by saying, boys will be boys. Just let them grow up. They'll be okay. Imagine if I was a paramedic this morning and you were choking on some McDonald's. And as you were choking, you were saying, help, help, help. And I looked at you and I said, it'll be okay. Here's a lollipop. Get well soon. Imagine with me this morning if I was a fireman and your house was on fire. And I came and I got all the equipment together and I pulled up to your house and I got out and I looked at your house and you were crying saying, please put the fire out. And I looked at you and said, it'll be okay. the fire will put itself out. In each of these scenarios, you will look at me and with anger say, what an irresponsible first responder you are. This morning, I want to challenge your hearts to realize we are heaven's first responders. And let us not grow weary. And let us not grow irresponsible with the task we have at hand. And that is to be God's first responders. So three things this morning. Who are we responsible to? How can we be responsible? And where should we be responsible? Let's begin. Look at our verse, chapter 8, Acts 1, verse 8. Ye shall be. Who are we responsible to? These words here, ye shall be, they carry the meaning of to be, to exist, to happen, to be present. In other words, Jesus, shall be. That's in the plural, not the singular. Not you, Peter, you, James, or you, John. No, all right now, my. He wants. Witnesses. First, in a legal sense. In a legal sense. A legal sense is like being in the courtroom. You're called. I'm reminded of the woman at the well. After she had a long conversation with Jesus, a very in-depth conversation with Jesus about her sins, about all. She left the well, ran into the city, and she made a defense. Come here, a man who told me all that I've ever done. This morning, I am a proud witness to say, I can tell you all that Jesus has ever done to Daniel Pearson. Now, Daniel Pearson today is here in West Virginia sharing a message on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But this is not Daniel Pearson where he started from. The Daniel Pearson of the old. This was not. I did things I am not proud to even tell you about. But I can tell you, just to give you a vivid illustration of my life, I was, I had gold teeth in my mouth. Yes, gold teeth. Not gold teeth. Gold teeth in my mouth. I had long hair. I always say this. My hair was longer than my wife. In my vanity, I was in love with my vanity. My pants hang down to my ankles. I listened to the music of my culture. I loved it. I knew nothing different. I knew nothing better. I did not want Jesus in my life. Yes, I knew his name. My mama drugged me to church. Yes, all those things. I could put on a suit for Sunday morning. But Monday through Saturday, I Not what my mama wanted me to do, not what my daddy wanted me to do, but I was lost in my sins. Now, let me tell you this. My dress code may have been different than your dress code when you were lost. My hair may have been different than what your hair was when you was lost. My attire, my vocabulary may have been different than yours when you were lost. But I tell you, no matter where you are, no matter what you did when you was lost, you were lost. And when you was lost, you were dead. And when you are dead, you can't get more dead than that. So I can give a testimony this morning and stand in the back. And I sat in the back. No offense to anybody in the back. I know we all got social distance. But I sat in the back not because of COVID-19. I sat in the back because I love to sleep in church. I did not care what the church was talking about. I did not want to hear him. I was saying what I can do, what I can feel, what I can get for myself. It was all about me. Whether I was in the church. But that Sunday morning, 14 years ago, I heard the gospel presentation. I can't tell you the title of the sermon. I can't tell you everything he talked about. But all I know is I heard how Jesus died for my sins and everything changed. Now, did I speak tongues that day? No, I did not. Did I fall on the ground? No, I did not. But I can tell you from that day to now, I am no longer the same man. God entered my life. He took control of me. I got away from my independence, and I became dependent on him. And I praise the Lord for every day. You can't put it in a great theological way. When you're changed, and you know it. You don't know. And I can never be the same. So I can give a witness today in a legal sense. Someone else. And he saved my wife. And since that day, she has not been the same. I can tell you and I can testify in a legal sense what I saw Jesus do in her life. And he made me a one-woman man. That was not the man I was before Jesus Christ. Me good. He made me faithful. And then he gave us four beautiful kids. I can stand today in the legal sense and tell you what I've saw God do in my life. He gave me Soraya Pearson. Please raise your hand, baby. He gave me Sydney Pearson. I didn't think I could have any boys at this time. I had two girls. I had my hands full. Oh, they were the joy of my lives. Then God gave us Daniel Pearson. Praise the Lord. I had a boy. And then he gave he's being shy. And I seen God give me children. That was not the man. Today, so we are his witness. You can testify today. You can be his witness today. If Jesus saved you, you can be his witness today. Second, we should be a witness in a historical sense. It's like taking a test in school. Giving witness to what you have been taught. I'm not the first person to be saved, and praise the Lord, I'm not going to be the last person to be saved. We can give a witness today of historical witness. Things in the past. We're not the first Christians to ever live, to exist. We're not going to be the last ones. No, Jesus has been working in history. History is with our lives, our living, what we know. We've been saved, but are we still living? Right? We know the Bible. Do people see the Bible in our lives? We should be his witnesses in the ethical sense. Let me slow down here. Okay, yes, the witness, the word. Stephen, different people in the Bible who died, different people in Christian history who died. But that's not the only thing of being a martyr. A martyr is someone who's dying daily. A martyr is someone who is dying to themselves and living for the Lord. That's what. To give up. You shall be witnesses unto me. Not unto your pastor, not unto your church, but unto Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying in this sentence, I want you to be. This is not even a sentence. Ye shall be. This is not a sentence. Just to this comma. This is what Jesus is saying. So Jesus is saying in this sentence, I want you to exist, to be, to work, to be present in this evil world collectively and personally to make a bold. We exist as a church. And for him, we must be responsible. We are here in 2021 right now for Jesus. We are. You shall be witnesses unto me. Second point this morning, let me hasten. How can we be responsible? How are we witnesses? How in the world can we be responsible witnesses? We're too weak. We're too flawed. We're a big mess, right? We all can agree with that. We fall short. We don't know. It's in our text. It's in our verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All is in the power of the Holy Ghost. All is to be in the power of God. He has not given us the Holy Ghost to speak a foreign language. That's not the main purpose that he gave the Holy Ghost to his church on the day of Pentecost. No, the main purpose of giving them the Holy Spirit was that they would speak boldly, that they would tell people, the Jews at that day, the different nations on that day, about Jesus. Today, that power is available to you and me. Oh, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We belong to him. That's what Colossians or Corinthians says. Paul says in another place, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the power. You don't need any more Holy Spirit than you have right now. He's in us. He's living in us right now. We don't need more Holy Spirit. We don't need it. That's what we need to do. Oh, the power we need to be God's witnesses is living in us. We just need to yield to him. So let me hasten to our third point. That's how we can do this, in God's power. Trust him. Yield to him. Let the convictions that he brings to your heart, yield to them. To be a better ethical witness. Let him speak to you. To become a legal witness. Don't harden your heart to the gospel. Don't harden your heart to the gospel. Hear the Spirit. Listen to him. So lastly this morning, thirdly, where should we be responsible? Look at our scripture. Let's read it in its totality. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the how. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the who. Now where? Both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. First responders are responsible to respond to whoever calls them. They cannot say, that house is too dirty. That house is too far gone. That house is too far. No. So it is with us. Wherever God calls us to be responsible, we must go. Wherever he calls us, we are responsible to go. Wherever that's everywhere. I don't care if they are rich, poor, religious, enemies, or why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinners are casualties of Adam's sin and are already dead, spiritually dead. Romans 5:12 says, tells us, wherefore, as by one man's sin enter into the world, and by death, by sin, and so death. This means they don't want our help. Sinners do not want your help. You still must go. Sinners don't think. The church is still responsible to go. Sinners are content to live. must go. We are heaven's first responders. But we must get on the scene. Why? Because hell exists. We must go. In Jerusalem. Why reach the people in Jerusalem first? Why did Jesus say Jerusalem first? Jerusalem is a picture of the religious community. Jesus' whole ministry, he battled who? Religious people. Jerusalem is the center of religious people go to hell. Jesus tells us one story about a religious man in the Bible. One story. He could tell us about anybody else in hell, but he tells us about a son of Abraham. Man in the Bible. Man. Had many sons. He probably didn't know that song exactly, but he was a Abraham recognized him as his own offspring. Jesus tells us about one man in hell. He could have told us about a Hitler. He could have told us about an atheist. He could have told us about a person who was committing all kinds of fornications. But he tells us about a man who was a son of Abraham. Why? So we would realize hell is filled with people who grew up religious. Full of it. Oh, Jesus is telling them, go. That does not matter. Jesus will tell us today, go reach the religious. Go to Jerusalem. Oh, let us be responsible. Oh, let us be responsible to those who are thinking themselves into heaven or working themselves, thinking they are working themselves into heaven. So in all Jerusalem, then in all Judea, Judea meaning those who are in close proximity to us. I heard it said that Noah ever lived. Noah was the best missionary that ever lived. Why? Because he got his whole family on the boat. Judea, those who are close proximity, those who are our family, those who are our friends, we need to reach them. We are responsible as Christians to be God's witness. Love your neighbor. How can you love your neighbor? Tell them the truth. Tell them about the gospel. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your son. Love your daughter. You can't be too radical about loving others. Everyone in your tell them all about it. And then he says, in Samaria, these people were the enemies of the Jews. You know, you probably have heard about, we saw the woman at the well. Jews and Samaritans don't do anything with each other. No, we don't have any dealings. Jesus is telling his church, go reach Samaria. Go. We may not understand, reach them. Those who get on our last nerves, and I mean our last nerves, reach them. Those who are you can't be too right. He washed Judas' feet. Love your enemies. Reach them with the gospel. He doesn't say, go ye therefore to reach all Republicans. He says, go ye therefore to reach Democrats too. Just because they wear the blue hat or the red hat, it does not matter. Go to Samaria. Reach them. And then he says to the uttermost part of the earth, there is no such thing as going too far for the lost. The farther the mission, not the government. This is not the government's responsibility. This is not the NFL. This is not the hospital's responsibility. This is not the public school's responsibility. God is church. He tells us, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. You ever lost your keys? Oh, it's the most frightening moment of your day. I just now, I said, hey, Tierra, can you go out there and get the prayer cards? She said, I don't have the keys. And I said, well, I don't have the keys either. So guess where the keys are? In the car. So for 20 seconds, I'm running out there. It feels like 20 minutes. I'm running out there. Don't say I locked the door. Just say I left the door open. Praise the Lord, I left the door open. Keys sit right there on the floor where I left them. It's frightening. It unnerves us to lose our keys. Oh, church, God has given us, Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom. Does it unnerve you? Does it frighten you? The times you don't use the keys. The times you don't share the gospel with your enemy, with your family, with your coworkers, with the religious. Does it unnerve you? I pray today we will learn to be heaven's first responders. And if we're not being his responders, let it unnerve us to not be responsible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. Lord, thank you for all that you have done this morning. I pray that you speak to our hearts more as we go forward this morning. Lord, thank you for all that you have given us, this great responsibility to be your witness. What a privilege. No one else in this whole world has this privilege, Lord. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. Help us be responsible. Help us grow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.